A little small house, maybe the size of this sanctuary here, with no running water, along the Illinois Lamont Canal, that changed the direction of the Chicago River from flowing into Lake Michigan to have Michigan flow out. Little tidbit that you probably didn't know. But that little tiny house, 99 years ago, today, my dad was born. If you were alive today, he'd be an old man. But he died young 10 years ago or so. And when he died, he divided all of his possessions and all of his money equally three ways between my brother, my sister, and I, except for two items. One item was my mother's wedding ring, which, rightly so, went to my sister. The other item was this watch, which my brother and I have to share. It's the watch that my mother gave to my dad in 1958 when they were married. And so I don't wear it too often. My brother had it for several years, and on his 60th birthday, a couple of months ago, he gave it to me. And in 10 years, when I turn 60, I'll give it to him. And probably the coolest thing is on the back, it has this little tiny saying, simply says, "Pat, with love, Ev." And this week I've been thinking about my dad a lot. And there's certain lessons that my dad taught me, of course, and my parents. But even though I didn't grow up in, by most people's standards, a wealthy home, my dad taught me a lot about dishonest wealth. How to use our dishonest wealth for love. One of the things that we didn't have a lot of is money, and so we didn't always have what we wanted to have. And I never forget the time when I had a job and my dad didn't have a job. I was like in maybe a junior or senior in high school or maybe freshman in college. And this one summer, my dad had been unemployed for a year, and I got the best paying job of my entire life. Still today, I got paid $10 an hour. And every week I'd get that check from Corn Products Corporation in Chicago, a big factory, and I'd write my little John Hancock on the back, give it to my parents, they would put it into the bank, and we would have food on the table for another week, or whatever bills, or however they did all that stuff. But one of the things I began to realize is, as much as I wanted to have all that money and do whatever with it, that money was given to me to support my family during this time of our family's history. And so, how do I use my finances to this day? Do I use it for myself, or do I use it for others? Am I advancing my own ends, or am I advancing the ends of others? There's another time when I began to realize that my dad, he was legally blind, so he couldn't see very well. And the one thing that my parents would argue about will be, of course, obviously my brother and sister. The one thing they would get in some disagreements about was finances. So my mother was in charge of paying the bills, because my dad couldn't see very well. But my mother was terrible at it. She just couldn't get it done. I don't get it. They've both been dead for years. It's history. It doesn't really matter. But I'll never forget hearing my dad saying with a, how should we say, an elevated voice, "Evie, I will pay the bills from now on. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. So you just give them all to me." She did. My dad, with his magnifying glass, would figure it all out. Because what my dad realized is that not having our finances in order is going to destroy our relationship, and it wasn't worth it. So my dad would do whatever it took to bring peace in the house in the area of finances so that the relationship he valued far greater than all the money in the earth, his relationship with his wife, would be at peace. Today's day, how often I've heard people who even make tons of money, and it comes right down to how they argue about finances and spending their money. Don't let it ruin your relationships. Parents, teach your kids how to manage finances. And it isn't with a credit card. Another lesson my dad taught me about wealth is that it should be shared with God. So every week my family went to church. My mother went to her Lutheran church. My dad, brother, and sister went to the Catholic church. Luckily, the mass at the Lutheran church was at 8:30, but at the Catholic church was at noon. And so we go to mass. And every Sunday, I would see my dad reach into his pockets and pull out a little money and put it into the collection. And in some ways, he would just wave it almost. Like, see, kids, I'm putting money in the collection. Part of what we need to do is support the church. And while my dad couldn't put in millions, I knew that what he put in could pay for more than a latte. And they didn't even have lattes back then. But part of what his responsibility was to show us how to use money. And part of that is for God's glory. There was another thing that my dad would do, our family would do. And that is about once a year, my family would go to a play and a fancy dinner downtown Chicago. Saw all kinds of plays. Every year, different play, Fiddler on the Roof and My Fair Lady and some dramas and different things. And it was always so exciting. I mean, we take the train, we go downtown, we have dinner at some restaurant, and then we would go see this play and come back on the train and be sleeping on the trains that rock back and forth, get home about midnight. It's the most extravagant thing that my family ever really did. What my dad was trying to teach us, I believe, and my mother, is that we can't just bear life. That sometimes you have to save some money up so that you can actually enjoy something. Now, for most of us, or for some of us, maybe that's easy. But part of our finances is to actually bring joy to others. Not to spoil them. That's not what God calls us to do, but to bring joy. It might be simply buying flowers for a next-door neighbor whose spouse has passed away. Or maybe it's when you go on vacation, bringing some chocolate so that your office staff can have a little treat. Or maybe it's going and buying some flowers and taking them to the cemetery. Don't do it now, though, because it's like the fall. Do it in the spring. Maybe it's calling up a friend and saying, hey, let's go out for dinner. I'll pay. Or maybe it's calling up a next-door neighbor who hasn't been to church for a while and saying, hey, why don't you come to church tonight with me? I'll pay your collection fee. So I invite us this week to take some time to pause. How are you using dishonest wealth? Because see, what true wealth is, it has nothing ultimately to do with this world. It has to do with the world yet to come. True wealth is that which lasts forever. So look at the person next to you. Think of your mom and your dad and your grandparents. Those, they are true wealth. Think of the poor and the needy, the elderly and the young and the unborn. They are true wealth. So how are you using your dishonest wealth, the insignificant wealth of the money in your checking account, in your savings account, in your stock holdings, to bring about true wealth, that which matters the most?